At the appropriate hour. Yes, we are. Okay, I would like to call the commission meeting, the MTC commission meeting for Wednesday, September 26, 2012, to order. I'd like to confirm our quorum.
We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Under my report, it is with great respect and sympathy that I ask that we adjourn today's meeting in memory of California Highway Patrol Officer Kenyon Youngstrom, who was deprived of his life on September 5, 2012. Officer Youngstrom, born on October 8, 1974, joined the California Highway Patrol in February of 2006. In passing, Officer Youngstrom is survived by his wife Karen and their four children. In his CHP career, Officer Youngstrom worked out of the Golden Gate Division's offices in Vallejo and with the Contra Costa Area Office. Officer Youngstrom kept watch of our Bay Area freeways, during which he became familiar with the FSP drivers on his patrol, including the SFP driver who came to the aid of Officer Youngstrom on the tragic September 4th day. Immediately following the incident, an FSP driver was one of the first to stop and was able to secure the scene and provide first aid before emergency services could arrive. This day was painful for all involved, but we are grateful for Officer Youngstrom's service and find some relief in knowing that a familiar face was able to provide some comfort. Our condolences go out to the Youngstrom family. And if we could just observe a moment of silence in his memory. Thank you. Also in my report, I want to make a motion to appoint Commission Vice Chair Amy Rainworth to represent MTC on the Joint Policy Committee to fill in a vacancy left by Commissioner Kinsey. Current representatives are myself, Bill Dodd, Jake McKenzie, and Jim Spearing. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second I heard over here. Kinsey. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Don't you dare. Okay, congratulations. Okay. Also on item 2A, a funding agreement framework for MTC ABAG joint planning activities. Commissioner Vice Chair Amy Rainworth, Planning Committee Chair Jim Spearing, and I met with representatives of the ABAG board to discuss a multi-year funding agreement to support ABAG's research and planning activities beginning fiscal year 2013-14. Action to this agreement was deferred until today's commission meeting. The proposed framework for this agreement is included in your packet, and I would like to ask Ann Flemmer to present the specifics of this proposal, if you would. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. As noted in under tab 2A is a recommended framework for a funding agreement with ABAG for fiscal year 13-14 through for an additional 4 years. The commissioners, as noted, have met with ABAG commissioners, and we've met with staff. And this recommendation, it reflects the deliberations of that group. The proposal is based primarily on the need for ABAG and their request to come up with a more secure basis for funding on an annual basis for research and planning activities. For the last 20 years, our agreement has been based on a formula allocation of the amount of federal funding that we receive from FTA as well as FHWA. So therefore, those funding sources can go up or down depending on the allocations to the region. ABAG has also been highly dependent on more recent state funding for the implementation of SB 375, but that funding is drying up. Unless it's replaced by another source, that will have significant implications for their budget. So the proposal today before you is to request your approval of the framework to be delivered to ABAG for their deliberation and consideration for the next fiscal year. The current fiscal year is already approved by the commission. It included a $3.2 million allocation of funds to ABAG. The proposal is to begin with a baseline agreement of $3.7 million to ABAG. Increased at 1.5% per year to consider their CPI, as well as sufficient funds to allow ABAG, should they determine to relocate to 390 Main, for their funding for the tenant improvements for that move. The proposal is also to consider the fact that the ABAG would be able to carry over funds from one year to the next, depending on their need for one year to the next. What we've done in the past is close out one year and we start from zero-based budgeting. This proposal would allow them to carry that over in order to smooth out coverage of their expenses from year to year. Finally, the proposal would include the provision that the Administration Committee of the Commission would approve each year's agreement so that there is an approval of the work scope, which will include consideration of continuation of our efforts to reduce our costs, both AMTCs and ABAGs, related to any duplicate and coordinated research and planning efforts that occur over the next 4 years. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, we're just asking for your approval for this framework to be forwarded to ABAG for their consideration.
Thank you, Ann. Are there any comments or questions on the proposal? Motion by Hagerty, second by Spearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposition? Seeing none, that passes. Thank you very much, Ann. And thank you to the committee that worked on this. Okay. We are now to item 3, which is a Policy Advisory Council report. Egon Turplin, I don't see. Is there anyone else from the Policy Advisory Committee here today? Okay, seeing none. The Executive Director's report, Mr. Heminger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. It's been a couple of months, so a few things to catch up on. Quite a bit of personnel activity, as you'll see on the first page of the report, most of it having to do with a promotional series of appointments in Ann's side of the shop. And I would like to congratulate the five individuals mentioned, Ellen Griffin, Teresa Rommel, Ann Richmond, Doug Johnson, and Carolyn Clevenger. They will now be what we call principals, which is sort of the step in between senior and director. They are all well-deserving, and I look forward to them taking on those new assignments. Turning to page 2, in terms of events, the first one I know sounds like old news because it is, but you had a pretty extensive briefing in closed session in July about what the Bureau of State Audits would say, and they subsequently said it and published their report. So I've included the relevant documents in your packet, and if you'd like to discuss them further, I'd be happy to. I'd prefer not to. The Dumbarton Bridge project, which is a bit of a sleeper in our seismic retrofit program, the sleepiest perhaps was the Antioch Bridge project, which we have finished. But the Dumbarton Bridge project is coming along quite well also. The last closure we needed took place over Labor Day. And Caltrans and its crews finished the work about 10 hours early. And so that bridge, we forecast, will achieve seismic safety sometime early in 2013. The contract itself will run for a few months after that, but the important thing is to make sure the work is done to ride out the earthquake, and that will be very soon thereafter. And so at that point, we will have six and a half of our bridges ready, and we'll wait for the other half one in the fall of the same year. I included in your packet what might sound like a bit of an obscure reference to a kind of bond that is issued by state and local government. They're called GARVEYs. They're grant anticipation vehicles. And they are based upon the financial stability of the Federal Highway Trust Fund, which, you know, used to be like AAA, lock the door, everything's just fine. And the fact that these bonds have now been downgraded is, I think, another indication of how unstable the Highway Trust Fund has become. I added up the numbers the other day. And over the last 5 years, the general fund bailouts of that fund have now totaled $53 billion, which is just an enormous sum, unprecedented in the history of that fund, which has been around since Dwight Eisenhower was president. The rating agencies are taking note of that. And so I include it as yet another canary in the coal mine of where we are in Washington. Speaking of bonds, I think our bonds are in quite a bit better shape than bonds issued either by the federal or state governments. And as you know, you authorized at a meeting that I actually missed last month that Brian and Sue Wu go with our finance team and undertake a refunding of some of our debt that was issued when rates were quite a bit higher. So sort of like refinancing your house when you can get a lower rate on your mortgage, that's the process that we have underway with our BATA bonds. Because of the demand being so high, the team was actually able to refund not only the 2006 but the 2007 bonds, the portion of it that were callable, and did so at an all-in rate of just a little bit over 3%. Now, these bonds aren't 40-year bonds. They're quite a bit shorter than that, but that's still a pretty substantial savings over the 4.50 that we were paying on the debt. The team is now turning their attention to the debt we issued in 2008, which was issued at an even higher rate of 5.3%. And so this is, again, part of the strategy that we've had underway from the outset of trying to keep the pressure on the tolls low by making sure that the debt we sell is sold at the lowest possible rates. Also want to mention an event in Washington. The next item, Tom Bulger was on hand to pick up an award that we received from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for the Climate Initiatives Program that a lot of you had quite a bit to do with launching. I remember Commissioner Kinsey in particular. And the fact that we're getting awards from EPA instead of getting sued by them, I think is a sign of progress. At the bottom of that page, a pretty significant event that's also the summary of it continues to page 3 of my report. And there's also a PowerPoint that's included in your packet that reflects the action that was taken by the ABAG Executive Board. A few of you were there acting as board members of that agency, where they agreed by a vote of 16-8 to move forward with negotiations with us about acquiring an ownership condominium interest in 390 Main Street in San Francisco. So that will be a bit of work that we have to accomplish over the next few months, and obviously I think it is a welcome sign that we now appear to have three agencies headed toward that facility. I think you're aware that BCDC was very desirous of moving in, but they're not in control of their own destiny. They were told that a new policy that Governor Brown implemented required them to be in a state facility. They're currently in a private lease. And they appealed that decision to the governor directly and ultimately were told, yes, you're going to go to the state building in Civic Center. So that's where they're going. They hope to somehow join us later on. So I guess now we're leaving the light on for BCDC at 390 Main Street, but it appears that the three other regional agencies will be headed there in the near future. I'll mention just briefly the Joint Policy Committee meeting because it contained, I think, two highlights. One was a discussion with Senator DeSaunier, who was present, about trying to find some cooperative basis for moving forward next year. But I have to say probably the highlight of the meeting was when all of us ducked out to see the Space Shuttle Endeavor fly by at what looked like about 10 feet above the ground. It was really close and pretty exciting. Peter Beeler, our photographer on staff, was actually on the roof. So if you want some great shots of it, they're on our website. And you've got a few things at your places I just wanted to describe. The first one, this little card, describes the awards ceremony. As you know, we hand out awards every 2 years now, not every year. And the winners of the awards are shown on the card. We're going to hope that all of you are able to join us next month at Preservation Park to hand out the hardware. Secondly, you've got the up-to-date version of Getting There on Transit. This is the guide that lets you know how to get from anywhere to anywhere on transit. Even if it involves three buses and two trains, you can do it if you have all day. It's a very handy guide. And finally, you've got a little thing like this that if you open it up, you will find a Clipper card. And I think you recall we did a fairly limited promotion with the Golden State Warriors a bit ago and BART. This is a much more extensive promotion. This is a commemorative card commemorating the 75th anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge. And we do intend to do more of this in the future, probably next year, two cards, one for the America's Cup and the other for the east span of the Bay Bridge, which will open next year. The cards we've given you have $10 on it, so don't say we never gave you anything. And you can use them just like the Clipper card you already have. So if you want to trade for this one, you can use it. If you want to hand it off to somebody else, you can do that. It works just like the old card. And I think that concludes my report.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions for Steve? Yes.
Steve, going back to the fact that BCDC probably is not going to be in the building for a while, has there been any discussions with maybe any of the transit agencies in San Francisco or maybe their half-cent sales tax authority or any of that to see if they would be interested in moving in the building?
Yeah, I think, Commissioner, that their sales tax authority is actually, and I know Commissioner Wiener is on that board, I believe they're considering moving somewhere else, the last I checked.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
This is the TA.
Oh, they've already moved.
They've already moved?
Yeah, they're on Market Street now, right between Van Ness and 11.
So we have had some preliminary discussions with Muni. Muni has a lot of space. They've tried to centralize as much of it as they can at South Van Ness. And we've had approaches from other public agencies and others. So I think, again, another thing that is a value in having this audit behind us is that I think a lot of that interest will get more real and those discussions will start ripening into what we might do. I have to say the notion of additional government agency tenants is attractive because they tend to stay put. And so we're encouraged by the interest we've had and we're going to pursue it.
Any other? Yes, Mr. Green.
Scott and I were looking at this award ceremony being from 9 to 10:15, and yet BAD is supposed to start at 9:30. So the question is, are we just going to move around or move meetings around or just forget the award ceremony and get back here?
No. The card's right. The agenda's wrong. So your meetings will happen after the awards are over.
Back here,
correct.
Any other questions for Steve? Okay, thank you, Steve. We're now at Commissioner Comments. Mr. Kinsey, I know you wanted to comment.
Yes, thank you, Chair Tissier. As all of us know who were here during the summer meeting, the last meeting before we took our summer break, we had a very tough and divisive discussion around youth passes and other benefits in the bus program. And I think a lot of us who voted no, including myself, were concerned about the sources of the funding as well as the message that would be sent relative to the Transit Sustainability Project. Subsequently, I've had an opportunity to meet with Steve Heminger and Alex Bachelman, look at some different sources that could be used. The plan for the staff is to bring forward our transit incentives program, which we had intended to do all along under the OBAG and the Transit Sustainability Project, and I believe that would make its way through the Programming and Allocation Committee starting maybe as early as next month. And I just wanted to ask that the staff at least incorporate an option that would provide the opportunity for each community consider how it might be able to get involved in a youth pass program. So without getting into details, I did want to just make it clear that I would like to see that, and I think that there would be a number of other commissioners that would as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Any other commissioner comments? Okay, hearing none. Thank you. Consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
No.
Motion by Spearing.
Second.
Second by Dodd. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none. Under committee reports, we have programming and allocation. Commissioner Glover.
Madam Chair, the Program and Allocations Committee met on September 12th. One item is before you today for action, and that would be MTC Resolution Number 4061 revised and 4062 revised. It approves the allocation of fiscal year 2012-13 Transportation Development Act funds and state transit assistance funds of $96.4 million to Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority and $2.9 million to AC Transit to support transit operation. I move approval of MTC Resolution Number 4061 revised and 4062 revised.
Okay, we have a motion by Glover, a second by Kinsey. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, that motion passes. I have no public comment cards. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address the commission? Seeing none, then I would like to take this moment to adjourn in memory of Officer Kenyon Youngstrom. And that is the end of our commission meeting.